flying to Texas today, and the decision was made that we would not go. And so I called Sister Regina Powers here and asked her if she still wanted to come, even though we would be in the house, and she said, yeah. So we're thrilled that she's here today. I knew from the first phone call, I hadn't spoken to her in many, 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 many years. I don't even want to know how many those many years were, but a lot. But I knew as soon as I talked to her on the phone, the Spirit bore witness. She's a precious, precious saint of God, and I appreciate her. And as far as the virus and, you know, what our plan is in the future, we've been briefly looking at it. As Don said, we meet the guidelines. We're not doing anything untoward, and typically we sit kind of spread out anyway, and we're being responsible. That's why we put the donuts on separate plates, so nobody has to touch anything. You can just take what you want and go. And I threatened that we would implement a new greeting with each other, and I called it,
I love it,
the rump bump. So no hands have to touch. We'll just give it a little shake, and that'll be good enough. I think the Lord would understand and bless it if we did. But at this time, I want to introduce Sister Regina Powers. She comes from five generations of preachers, you said? Five generations.
My family.
Yeah, long, long line of preachers. So we're happy to have her, and she's going to come. She's going to lead some worship and then get into the message. So bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for this honor to be in a pastor's pulpit on a Sunday morning. As a pastor's kid, I was raised, and believe me, it's an honor to be in a pastor's pulpit. I'm going to mention what I told Terry and Bob coming down here. Ron Carpenter had put a special prayer time on his a Facebook posting so that you could all do it every night. And he prayed awesome prayer. But while I like what he pointed out, the devil has tried everything to bring down the church. It is God's will in the laying on of hands. And the devil's trying to stop the laying on of hands because of the power of God in it. So he said, they went to four services a day so they could all come at different times and spread out. But he said, we're not going to stop the laying on of hands. Our ministers will carry sanitizers. They won't touch you until they've used it. But he said, if he thinks that the devil thinks he's going to stop the laying on of hands in my church, he's way wrong. And so, while we have to use wisdom, I put a posting on Facebook yesterday that said, it's amazing to me, people claim to be Christians, yet they fear everything going on in the government, in the stock market, in the business, in the, you name it. They fear it. They're living in fear, because fear is opposite to faith. And he is trying to bring fear, but we need to keep our focus on the power of the blood of Jesus. And if we stay under the blood, and if we plead the blood over our household, plead the blood over our family members, plead the blood over our cars, everything. I never get in a car without plead the blood over it. So Bob, that's why I could handle your driving yesterday. I never get in a car until I plead the blood over it, and I never leave my house without pleading the blood over my entire property and everything on that property. When we live in the power and the faith of the blood of Jesus, we live in peace. And I'm telling you, peace is a rare commodity of this world. So anyway, thank you for the honor, Debbie, and we're going to get into it. I told Terry and Sherry Deanne the other night at church, I said, oh, thank God we're going to where they have some songs. And I'm going to leave it at that because I've learned how to honor God. I honor his people. I honor his anointing. And I don't dare put my mind to the anointing of the blood of Jesus. So I may not agree with everything that goes on in a pulpit, but I do know that what God has touched, I better leave my hands off of it. And that includes my tongue. And that's, in fact, you'll hear me pray today something that I hear people giggle when I pray it, but I mean it. I always pray over my message and I close with, and God, when you're done talking, anoint me to shut my mouth. Because when God's done, why should I go any further? I'm going to say one story and then we'll sing it. We had an uncle. I'm not going to say his name because so many people know my family members so many far back. And my mom had an uncle that was going to preach a fellowship meeting. And he was up there. And after a while, he's rambling. And finally, oops, I almost said Uncle Sula. Finally, he said, well, I'm looking for a place to close here. And Mom reached over. She wasn't quiet about it. Well, I could have found him a place 20 minutes ago. Well, and I don't want to be that. I asked Debbie if we could sing one song out of the hymnal that goes with my message today. And it's page 300, an old favorite of mine. But it isn't just the song. I didn't realize that, and I haven't led songs in years, that MS had taken away my voice box for a while, and I have not rebuilt my vocal cords. So I haven't sung hardly any. And I know the Powers 3 was known for their singing. Well, la-dee-da. But the words of this song, and I'm going to end up probably leading the same verses that minister to me, but you know what? When you get into the message, you'll know why I'm singing this song. Page 300, I'm standing on the promises. Audrey, you did such a good job on singing songs this morning. I haven't led a song in years. But I'm still standing on his promises. I'm standing on the promises of God, my King. Oh,
forgetting of the problems that cannot fail. With the howling storm, look down and fit a sin. Oh, but by the living word of God, I'll prevail. I'm standing on the cross. Oh, I'm standing on the cross. Oh, I'm standing on the promises of God, by your standing. I am standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing on the promises.
Bob wants to anoint me with my water. I was telling Terry Wednesday night at our church. Thank you for the light. The older you get, the more you need it. So most guys remember Reggie more than they do me. But I told him we're twins. And I said, I wish you'd quit getting older. I'm getting all kind of problems. But I told Terry, I said, I had a whole different sermon planned. Had it already go to the library and printed out on the printer. And while I'm sitting there eating my breakfast, the Lord totally changed my whole message. And I had to get up and write out a whole new message. And I didn't get it printed till Friday. And we left on Saturday, and I thought, okay. It's kind of short to the point, but you know what? If God's going to say something, he gets it done, and he don't have to gab on. But the reason I sung that old song, while I was sitting there in my lounge chair eating my jalapeno quiche, I had to stop and put all my food down because the Holy Spirit spoke and said, and I don't know, we don't have that many here today, and thank God, because number one, God knew who would be here. So he planned the message. If there's only one of you that God wanted to talk to, the rest of you get to reap the benefits. But the Lord told me, said, I have made some promises, and I want my people to know I'm going to fulfill my word. I will not delay what I once said. Father God, I ask for the Holy Ghost anointing. I need the mind of Christ. I need the thoughts of God. I need my tongue anointed by the Holy Ghost to speak it. And then I want to shut up, God. I only want to say what you say and do what you want done. In Jesus' name, every scripture I have will be very familiar. Do you? But you know what? When God says something, it never gets old. He said it because he wanted. God has made some promises. If you've not seen them fulfilled yet, you believe God spiritually. You can honestly say, yes, I believe God. But you're looking at time and circumstances, and you're thinking, excuse me, God, don't you remember what you said? And sometimes we do that. But I'm going to take back to old scriptures in Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he would repent. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he won't make good? And I like the way God asks that question, because he speaks it, and then when it don't happen right away, we think, excuse me, God. We think that God reneges on his word like people do, and he does it. In 1 Samuel, when Samuel was talking to Saul to let him know that God had removed him from office, the ending of his wording, he said, and also the strength of Israel will not lie, and he will not relent. He's not a man that he should lie or relent. God isn't like us. Thank God he's not like us human beings. Because you see, so many people make promises and later they find out they can't fulfill them. But God is the only one who can back up his word, because he has the power to do it. And God, nobody loves you like God loves you. And nobody has the power to back up his love like God has. And once God says something, it's done. It's done for all eternity. When he said, let there be, yeah, I believe in the Big Bang theory, thank you. Because when God said, boom, it happened. When God said, boom, it happened. The minute God says something, when it leaves his lips, it is forever done in the heavens and in eternity. And if it's already done, the only reason it never gets manifested to some people is because they do not receive the word of God. After a while, it becomes either forgetful or null and void, because they think time kneels the word of God. I don't think so, because it's forever done in the heavens. God's word is power, and God has the power to perform his word. One day, about four years ago, I was driving down to Ontario, and, oh Lord, once you get on that 10 freeway, and I looked over, and my car was packed to the hilt. And in my front seat, I had taken this Bible, and I had laid it on everything. I travel with food. I love to eat, and I eat the whole time I'm driving. So I reached over, and on top of my food was my Bible, and I just reached over, and I touched the Word of God. And when I did, don't ask me how I got down 10, because the Holy Ghost took over. The power of God from just touching his word touched my whole body. And I want you to know that God's power in his word does not diminish, because God said, I don't change. I'm going to turn over here. It's so funny, I have all these scriptures. I think, well, why'd I have that one? But I'll know when I read it. God said, my covenant I will not break, nor will I alter the things that have left my lips. God isn't going to change his mind on you, and your circumstances doesn't surprise him. Faith is believing God between the promise and the manifestation. And believe me, that can take a longer time than what we want it to. It's like, excuse me, God. And we think God wants to work on our time, but God don't live in time. God lives in eternity. Believing God without being a nervous wreck, as if he don't know the circumstances you've walked through. As if he don't know. You know what? If you're under the blood, nothing happens unless God gives it permission. So if it happened to you, God is aware of it. It's so funny. Now watch me not find that piece of paper. I had a piece of paper. I was going through my sermon notes, and a piece of paper popped up, and I thought, because usually when I write something on a piece of paper, I put a date, and then I write down the scripture that made me write those notes. But there's nothing on this piece of paper. It only has the notes that says, your circumstances hasn't surprised God. Now, he surprised you because you didn't expect things to turn out the way they did. But they did not surprise God, and they didn't sneak up on him unexpectedly. So when we see things, in fact, I have here, if he knows it, somebody come and see me, thank God I'm not home. Faith is believing God despite your time and circumstances. Faith is believing when circumstances actually go opposite than what God has said. You look at Joseph. When God promised him that he would be the great ruler that everyone would bow to, do you think he thought he'd end up in a pit, much less in prison? No, everything looked opposite to what God promised. But those circumstances that look opposite than what God promised means God's bringing it about. Joseph would have never gotten to Egypt had his brothers not thrown him in the pit. And Pharaoh would never have called on him if he hadn't been in the prison where he was at. So your circumstances not only do not surprise God, he has a key role in what he's doing through them. And I know because so often God made me a promise. March, oh my word, today's the 15th. Yesterday was 25 years. It was March 14th of 1995. Have I seen that promise fulfilled yet? No. And sometimes I have been a nervous wreck, and sometimes I've wanted to say, excuse me, God, I don't think this is what you were saying. But I've got to know, and I've got to trust God loves me so much that what God is doing is fulfilling his word. I had no idea what I would walk through after he made that promise to me. Things have gone all the way downhill since then, physically, financially, family, you name it. Everything God promised, just the opposite has happened to me for 25 long years. Yeah. Sometimes I'm fed up with it all, and sometimes I want to go, excuse me, God, I think this is done. But you know what? God has a timing. And I'm not going to question. I've got to know. He loves me. And I've got to trust that he loves me. And when I fail to trust his promises, what I'm telling God is, I don't really think you love me the way you made me think. Because basically our actions speak louder than words. And when we have an attitude toward God that things have not gone our way, Abraham was 75 when he received the promise for a son. 25 long years. It's bad enough to have a baby when you're 100. In fact, for those of you that know Uncle Harry, him and Aunt Carolyn, that's his second wife that died. He had three that died of cancer. Uncle Harry married Aunt Carolyn, and they ended up having a baby. And when Scotty was born, Uncle Harry would have been 50. So I just started calling him Uncle Abraham. He didn't appreciate it, but oh well. But how often, of course, I feel more sorry for Sarah. I can't imagine having to deal with babies at age 90. I'm just glad it was her and not me. But Abraham had to wait 25 years. And from the time that Joseph got his promise, it was 13 long, awful, awful years before Joseph stood before Pharaoh. When the angel came to Elizabeth's husband and says, "Your prayers have been answered." "What prayers?" "Well, you've been praying for a son, haven't you?" "Oh my God, you know what? We pray for something for so long and then we give up praying on it." So he had to tell him, "Your prayers have been answered from all those years back. You're gonna have a son." And when Cornelius, in the book of Acts, when the angel came to him to go to Saul to pray for him, the first thing that angel said was, "Your alms and your prayers have been answered." And after all those years, I'm sure Cornelius thought, "What are you talking about?" But God never lost track. And he said, "I've heard every prayer you've prayed." God, a lot of people I minister to through my Facebook Messenger, God has me give them a word. And recently, God had me write a preacher's wife. I'm sure you guys would know her because she's not very far from here. But I've never met her, but she's dying of throat cancer. And God had me write her a note 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that said, "Mindy, God has heard every prayer you prayed, and it is not going unanswered." Does things look good to her right now? No. But last week on Facebook, her posting was, "God already promised me he heard my prayers, and I'm standing on that." So you never know when God may give a word to you. And I've gone through it enough that the promise God gave me 43 years ago still has not been fulfilled. And you want to look up and say, "Excuse me, I thought you were the one that didn't have a member problem." But God's not forgotten. And all these years that I've waited so patiently. No, I haven't waited patiently, God, I'm sorry. Because there have been a few times I said, "That's it, God, I've had it. It's time for you to fulfill your word." And if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. But I'm not going to get into that part yet, because we get so impatient waiting on God. But God has a perfect timing. Number one, one thing I've always preached and now I'm having to live it, is God always answers your prayer when you get the greatest blessing and he gets the greatest glory. Now, I love the fact that I know what God's going to do for me, and it will be the greatest blessing. I mean, you guys are going to be awestruck what God's going to do for me. But I've come to a place, God has allowed me to go this long till I've reached a place to where I said, "God, it's not for the blessing, it's for your glory." And when we live to the place of our desire to see God get the glory, then God is free to do what he wants to do. But when we selfishly, like I've done, when we selfishly think, "Well, God, I need it and I need it now," And God is saying, well, what about me? It's all for me. It's all for my glory. He told the children of Israel, I'm not doing this for your sake. I'm doing this for me. God has a reputation he's got to keep. And one of his reputations we find in Titus 1 and 2. God cannot lie. He's holy. He cannot lie. And God has a reputation to keep. And when God wanted to destroy Israel, Moses said, well, God, what's that going to say to all those people that you got them out of bondage, but you didn't have the power to follow through what you promised? God backed up, and he had mercy. Not because Israel deserved it, but because he got the glory. And I finally, thank God, I'm like Joyce Myers at times. When she first got saved, somebody asked her, said, well, how long you been walking with the Lord? She said, oh, about 10 years. And she said, boy, the Holy Ghost knocked her upside the head and said, excuse me, I drug you the first 5 years. And sometimes I feel like, you know, God has to hit me upside the head and kind of drag me along to get me to where he wants me to go. But thank God for his mercy that he's willing to drag me. The nice story that we all love about the footprints in the sand. There is a picture of two tracks going through the sand. And that's because God didn't have to carry me. He had to drag me all the way. But you know what? God loves you so much. He's willing to drag you to get you to the point where he will fulfill his promise. Hebrews 11:1, we all know. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We hope for it. And Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when it comes, it is a tree of life. And sometimes the longer our hope or our promise is deferred, we start getting kind of heart sick. We humans, we need to learn to look at things from God's perspective. He knows what he's doing. He has a plan. And believe it or not, it's for your good. And sometimes we think, well, I have no hope left. Oh, there's that piece of paper I was looking for. But David prayed, and now, Lord, what do I hope for? My hope is in you. And when we get our hope off of the blessing and the promise, and we get our hope on the blesser and the promiser, then our blessing will be way greater than what we ever promised. Oh, on that note, I found nothing in life is by chance or happenstance. God already knew it was going to happen. It's not a surprise to God. He planned it. It may have surprised you, but he planned it. Now, find out from God what he intends to do with you and through you in this circumstance. And so often the circumstances don't go the way we like. We think, well, there's nothing now. There's no hope. Well, you know what? God is beyond the circumstance. God is beyond everything. So sometimes when we think there's no hope left, there's the Word of God that never voids. There's the Word of God that is forever done. Somebody needs to know whatever promise it was God made to you, I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how your circumstance looks. This morning, God is reminding you. He's not forgotten what He said to you. God has not forgotten it. And God has a plan, and He has a set date to manifest that promise to you. So just cool your jets. David said in Psalms, happy is he that has the Lord God of Israel for his help, and whose hope the Lord is. And Jeremiah said, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. We put our hope in makers when we have finances. We put our hope in all kinds of things. But God is beyond all them people and all that rigmarole. God is beyond that. And when God told Moses in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were facing the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army behind them, boy, it looked hopeless. But Moses said, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you this day. Stand still. Chill out. Calm down. And you know what? That's one of the hardest things for us humans to do, is just chill out and calm down. Trust is knowing that God has it all under control. And I'm like Reggie once in a while. God gave him something when he was supposed to be preaching, and he looked up and he said, are you sure, God? And so often we look up at God, and not by our words, but our attitudes of our hearts. We look at God like, are you sure? Excuse me, do you know what's happening? He said in verse 14, hold still and hold your peace. Be still, hold my peace. It'd help if I had something. But Jesus told him, in your patience, possess your soul. Patience? My mom says patience is the ability to idle your motor when you want to strut the gears. And so often, we want to strip our gears. But God's saying, just calm down. I've got it all. David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God. And then he said, I'm going to praise God for the help of His countenance. Anytime you read the word countenance, it's presence. Thank God for His presence. And David said, why are you in another place? Poor David, he was after it all the time. He said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you all disquieted?" And the word disquieted means unstill. He said, just hope in God. And another place, he said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions." And so often, that's what is a nervous wreck. But he said, hope in God. And he always ended, "And I will praise the Lord because his presence is here to help me." The only way I have found, I'm getting ready to close this, Deb. The only way I have found that I have made it this many years, the first promise was 43 years ago. The second promise was 25 years ago. And the only way I've made it this far, sometimes I have just wanted to strip the gears, and God said, "Just calm down, Gina. I've got it under control." And you know what I've had to learn through all these years? My circumstances does not affect the fact that he loves me. And if he loves me, I can trust him. Because if you love somebody, you're not going to do them wrong on purpose. And God loves you. And I don't know who it is here this morning, but God is telling you the promise he made, he's not forgotten. He has everything under control. It's going to happen. When you get the greatest blessing and he gets the greatest glory, just trust his word. Deb.
The steadfast love of the Lord. And his mercies are new every morning. Aren't you thankful for the hope that this world, as Don said this morning, is reeling in panic. But our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank you for that beautiful word. Thank you for that. We're thankful for the hope that we have in God. And we're thankful that through this last year, a year I never dreamt would come to my life, God has led every step. Every step. And I think I'm more secure in his love today than I've ever been in my life. Because he's proven himself over and over and over. Let's stand. Shakaya Mokoso. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we just entertain you today. Ikaya mokoshokorasai. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For your word is sure.
Yes.
And we stand upon your word, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that's been with us today. We thank you for everyone who came out to be in your house. And God, I pray that you would protect. We plead the blood of Jesus over every life. We plead your blood over the steps forward, the steps to the side, and the steps to the back, Lord. We ask you to put your protecting hand upon each one. And we give you praise and glory for this beautiful word today to remind us that our hope is in you.
Yes.
And that your word is secure. Go with us today. Bless and anoint each day, Lord. In your name we ask. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.